And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 166.
166.
Yes. And I am I'm one of your hosts, Silas Lindenstein.
I'm another one of your hosts, Samantha Rund.
And this is Seattle's longest running comedy podcast. Probably. We're here today. Samantha has returned. Samantha's back.
Yes.
Get back in the seat. She's here to put up with me for an hour.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. She mm-hmm. did it. She managed to put up with me for a whole hour, which honestly was just shows motherhood's made me more tolerable, I think.
Have I been glitching this whole time?
Not the whole time, occasionally,
but that was fine. The one that I noticed yeah. the most.
It never went out before that. Yeah. That person speaking is Brittany Allison, our guest today. Brittany is an actor, musician, she's a singer songwriter and Brittany, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks
today
for having
all right.
me.
All right. I met Brittany doing a Amazon commercial, the Amazon commercial, the only one I've done years ago, internet only, no residuals, but still happy. Like, to, like, just, whatever.
You're like, no. Whatever.
Oh, it's on Amazon, not the internet only. No residuals, but people actually, you know what? Nobody knows anything about acting except they have some idea about residuals, because they'll get me like, oh, are you going to get residuals on that? Like, you don't know what you're talking about, for one. You know nothing about the business, but you think I'm going to get residuals for a long time.
I wish. If only. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got them once, and that was amazing. That was just a fantastic. Not residuals, but I guess a rebuy. Mm-hmm. They rebought it. And I didn't know that was coming. So I was like, woohoo. So Brittany, I saw Brittany announce that she had a new single coming out. And so I was like, oh, we got to have you on the show. So again, we up our talent quotient here and bring back a fine. It's been a while since I've had a musician on, and I love having musicians because it's a different art form that I can't. Like I really want it. Like I want to. I wish I could. Like I hear, like we mentioned, In the Heights during the show. Like I listen to a musical I love, and I'm like, I want to. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna make a musical, and then that lasts 5 minutes because I can't do it. I'm just horrible.
Commit to the musical?
Huh? No.
Commit to the musical?
No, I can't. I can't write music. Like, I want to, like, write a song. And I'm like, it's just, like, horrible. Yeah. So I envy you. So I like having musicians on that have that talent. So.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. And you can, her single, we mentioned near the end of the show, but in case you want to Google her, Spotify it now before the show. Her name's Brittany Allison. With a Y in Allison, and it's
autotelic. It's a word. It's an adjective. Means to have a purpose in and of itself.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Yeah. So listen to that song, and then listen to Brittany on this episode. That's how I would do it. That's my suggestion for it. And then yeah. Sir. So we do want a special shout out. Thank you to our Patreon supporters for, we haven't had as many episodes out as normal. Try to put some out, so we're ramping back up. So thank you for sticking along with us during this transition period. And of course, if you want to help support the show and become a Patreon member, you too can, for just like as little as $1 a month, go to blackandahalf.com. Sorry, go to patreon.com/blackandahalf. And you can become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners for just $1. Or you can become an Inner Circle member for a little bit more, like Tara Widener, Stephen Ward, Keith Nagel. Become one of them and help support the show. And yeah, you can also support it by going to Apple Podcasts, leaving a 5-star review, or listen to one of our other adventures that we do, like the podcast I host called You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, which I teach people across the nation how the process about buying a home. And it's actually hit number 18 on Apple Podcasts. So it's the biggest thing I've ever done, officially, I think now. But yeah, listen to that. Or you also you can listen to other podcasts.
That's right. You can also listen to Beyond Technique with me, Samantha Rund. I have on guests. We talk about the arts, how it enriches your lives even more with a variety of people. So you can check that out where you listen to your podcast or on YouTube. And then if you're looking for a coach to help you with performance skills, so you can connect more to that voice, body, mind connection for public speaking, job interviews, sales, all sorts of things. You can message me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com. Space is currently very limited.
Oh, really? You have so, 'cause you have so many people right now.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you a private coach, private mm-hmm. coaching for the next 18 years.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. Yeah. And so that's those podcasts. And this is this one. So open, folks, open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 166, Brittany Allison. And there we are. That's it. Let me stop this.
Woo!
Stop.
It got What's so soothing sound? There at the end. I'm what? Like, I could use a nap. That? It got so soothing at the very end.
The recording has stopped.
Yeah, okay.
And then so that wasn't.
So that you know. It has.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Has your baby started singing yet?
No, she hasn't started singing yet.
Okay, you are in for a treat. Let me tell you. I have three kids. My three-year-old is now obsessed with In the Heights.
Yes.
He's asking for 96,000
by
name. And he was just actually, he's actually, I actually think he's a better dancer than my five-year-old. Like he's moving. It's like
those are fighting words, like West Side Story fighting
he's
words.
He's feeling the beat, I think. And I was trying to show his sister, like, do you feel like, I was like, oh, can you feel the beat? And I was like tapping. And then she like put her hand on my hand and was like looking for the beat. Like she thought it was something there. Oh. I was like feeling and like, no, it's a
delicious vegetable
it's a thing. I don't know. Not wrong. Brittany, did you see In the Heights?
I haven't seen the movie, no. I've listened to the Broadway cast recording.
Okay.
You know,
You haven't seen it live though, have you?
Mm-mm, okay. No, I haven't, unfortunately.
I really want to see it live. That's now.
I haven't
now
seen the movie yet, which I want to, but I did get to see it. I know.
You saw the movie? Didn't we review it? We reviewed it.
I didn't watch the movie musical version yet.
In the Heights?
But I watched it live on Broadway. So
We did a review in the on the show, right? Didn't we?
I don't remember. Was I part of it? Was I?
I thought you watched In the Heights with us.
Well, I saw it live, so I still could have talked about it. But I don't remember doing that episode with you. Oh, now I'm curious.
Now I'm like, what is
up? It's been an interesting month, to say the least.
I was like, I'm going to have to go back and look. I thought maybe I didn't even do it for this.
Oh, okay. I was like,
I thought I did. Oh, you know what? I think I just wrote a review about it because we're so ahead.
Oh.
So I just wrote about it. That's right. I talked about it because I was like, what? I have a full memory discussing this. I had my imaginary conversation with Samantha.
Yeah.
They're
good ones, you know.
Let me tell you, Samantha, though. I had my neighbor gave birth recently. Well, also C-section. One week later, her husband's appendix burst. Like, well, it didn't burst. Like, they had That's a rush horrible. Emergency appendectomy.
That's horrible.
So they're both kids.
Do they have family to help them? I hope they have somebody to help them.
They do have one person, but they also have like a 2-year-old. So
neither of
them can lift the 2-year-old. So,
oh my goodness.
So you know that 2-year-old's not jealous at all of the baby, huh?
No. Well, maybe the 2-year-old's doing the lifting.
Yeah,
the
2-year-old's, you know? Yeah. Carry the baby
really
around.
Good big brother or big sister already. They're just totally on it. I'm impressed. They need an award.
That's yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad for you guys. I was,
oh
yeah, it was. I it was like just like what a string of bad luck. And I was just like, here's the relief. I always feel like it's always me that always has all the drama happening. Like, I got raccoons back here. Or I got whatever. And I was like, holy crap, that's huge.
Your drama was a raccoon.
Whatever.
I know a raccoon is
I'm just saying, it's the first thing
I
thought of.
I can't
of.
Help teasing you. I got to, right? It's been a minute.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, but like, whether it, okay, it's me, I'm in the car accident, and then
no,
I have
I know,
this app,
Silas,
right?
I know you got real stuff.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I always feel like it's me, and I just tell this to Gretchen all the time. I'm like, am I the only one, or am I the only one talking about stupid stuff that happens to me? Because I feel I'm like literally the only person who has all these accidents happen.
Probably because you actually say stuff. Like, I wound up posting something against my usual quietness of like personal life stuff on Facebook.
Really?
Just because you might have seen it. No, just because I was having like a really difficult time after the delivery. And I mean, I didn't really go into detail, but just that I had so many people reach out to me, and like I had no idea that they would have had experiences that were difficult. Like, I see their Facebook pictures. They look like everything is like picture perfect.
Oh,
and like, you would never think that there was like any sort of difficulty other than like the story we're sold of like, and then your baby's here and everything's magical and easy, you know, like, but I'm just saying, like, I was amazed how many people also had stuff to share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brittany,
do you have a C-section?
I know, right? I know. It's not fair for people who weren't in on these private conversations you and I have had, Silas. So normally I don't like to tell people anything, but I will I don't want to take up too much of the podcast time today because we have you as our guest.
Yeah, but it's your first time that you've been back in a month or two.
It's been a while. Yeah. I'm like, I put on makeup today for
hey.
You. I got on my contacts. It's a shirt. An actual shirt, like
it fits.
I feel human, and not like a ghost of who I used to be. You know, like life is looking good to me. No, like my daughter is wonderful. Like I love her so much. But my delivery experience, I'm grateful to be alive. It did kind of traumatize me, and then there was just like other stuff that happened afterwards that was just like. I was literally worried that I wasn't going to make it like a few times. And so there's just something about having an experience where you realize your own mortality to that extent that just changes things. And then, you know, just the pain, so much freaking pain of stuff. But fun fact, which I will just share with people that I don't know. Apparently, even though like I'd made myself like mantras and things like this. Like I like my quotes, Silas, you're going to love. I put like quotes up to like help motivate myself and remember stuff like your body was built for this and breathe the baby out and blah, blah, blah. Cause I really wanted to try to do it unmedicated. And then I was like, but if it comes down to it and I need an epidural, I'm going to get one. But like, I know it affects everybody differently, like their labor experience. So I was like, let's just see. Right. There was some time of like singing Hamilton during it to like ease the pain. So that was fun. Haven't listened to the soundtrack since. So wait, I don't know what's going to happen next time I hear it.
Was the birth song like one shot?
No, it? I didn't have a birth song actually. I just had a get me up quiet? Into being able to. Well, I didn't like by that time.
No
I mean,
music?
For the actual
it's a production, you know, you kind of like
no.
The doctor didn't want something to be grooving on, like or like you could have had like. Okay, Lion King, like, so it could have
had
the
what?
Song go.
You might find it hard to believe, but my body's interesting enough. Lift. Okay, on its own.
Could have lifted. But,
save that for the raccoons. No.
I'll lift the raccoons.
No.
You know what's funny? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that you were talking about experiences that make you force... face your mortality very quickly. And something happened to me earlier this week. I live in a new part of Seattle. And so to me, and so
new parts of Seattle.
I was trying to guess it. And then I'm like, no, respect her privacy. She might tell us afterwards. Seattle. Don't tell the strangers.
No, I actually, just for personal reasons, I do want to keep that disclosed.
Goodness. Of course.
But
privacy's good.
Privacy is good. But the thing that happened was I like to go on a daily walk. And so I try to explore the new parks that I'm located around. And so I went to a park that I'd never been to before. And I pull in and the parking lot is empty. And so I immediately get that gut feeling of don't do this one alone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's 9 in the morning, 10 in the morning. And So I sit in my car and I get out my phone and I start texting people that I know live in this general area that I haven't seen because of quarantine. And, when I'm waiting for someone to respond in this empty parking lot, a car pulls up right next to me in the space right next to me. And it's a middle-aged male bodied person who proceeds to stare at me and wave at me very slowly.
Oh.
And like a creepy smile grows on their face. And, you know, luckily I was in the car and I drove away, but it definitely took me down the spiral.
I thought you were saying you were walking.
Oh, no. I didn't get out of the car because my intuition, told me, do not get out of the car.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was crazy because, you know, I'm driving away and I'm just looking in my rearview mirror, like, please do not follow me, you know? And luckily I got away and, you know, it was fine, but it just definitely triggered all of those other experiences. I'm sure you know what I mean. That was like, oh my God. The fact that, thank God I listened to my intuition, didn't go into that park because it was one of those like windy trails. Like you wouldn't.
Man. Oh, thank goodness you did listen to your intuition.
You never. Yeah. It's not quite the same as giving birth.
But that feeling, like being scared and traumatized and triggered. And then grateful that you're alive, like, and all of those things. And that the crazy thing about triggers or I don't want to say that it gave me PTSD because maybe it was a very short-lived experience. Hopefully it's not like a lasting trauma. I feel like there's different levels of PTSD I'm not like an expert in the thing, but I mean I definitely had some moments where like I was feeling really normal and then out of the blue something would trigger it or just whatever. And I would physically get shaky. And I just like the anxiety and the fear and like all, and it was so crazy. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, like this is stuff that people have been talking about that they've had to deal with to extreme levels. And like, until you feel it, like you have no idea. Like it's crazy.
There something happened that I didn't post on Facebook. Cause I don't know how to express it. 2 days ago, I was in the supermarket and a crazy woman swung at my son, my 3-year-old.
What?
As he was sitting in the shopping cart. We think it may be like my wife may have like turned to go into the aisle while the lady, she was crazy, walking real fast with a big limp, old woman lady. And I just like, I was back a little and I saw her raise up her fist and I'm like, what is that? And she swung and she missed him. And I'm like, what? And it's like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, she's like, well, I don't know. She didn't like mumble and like kept going. And I'm like, what? So I followed her.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, you can't do that. And I yelled to the cashier, like kind of comes out from self-checkout. I was like, she just swung at my child. And they're like, oh, geez. Oh, God. And then, you know, they're like trying to, then they go get a guy. They go get the store greeter to like come. They're like, Big Mike, come here. So they have the Big Mike. He's this like almost 7-foot black man, right? He comes up. He's like, okay, what is going on? And they're like, someone swung at the child. He's like, okay, you want me to call 911? I'm like, well, I want you to take care of this. He's like, well, we can't touch her. That's not a thing. I'm like, what? Well, she's over there. I'm like, they're not going to do anything because she didn't actually hit him. And like, she's walking weird. So he's like, well, what you want me to do? And then other people are coming up. They're like, okay, somebody wants me to call 911. And I'm like, well, they're not going to do anything. I want her out of the store. Just get her out of the store. And the other guy's like, we can't. And I was like, well, I want you to get secure. I want security. He's like, well, I'm not security. And this was hilarious to me because he's always there, like greeting people, right? I'm sorry. They did not hire Big Mike, as he goes by, as just a Walmart kind of store greeter. They definitely had Big Mike at the door at the Fred Meyers on Aurora, because they get a lot of people. He chases people off a lot, right? So mm-hmm. He's not technically security. That's the 60-year-old man with a gun or a taser or whatever that's walking around usually. But I just thought it was hilarious. Like, you are security, whether you ever.
Right.
Anyway, they were like, oh, that. And then they realized who it was. They're like, oh, she steals from here all the time. And they were like, then telling her, you got to get out of here. And she like just grabs a bag of chips. And the guy's like trying to grab it from her. And she's like fighting it and it's ripping. And the guy's like, let her have it. They just wanted her out of there.
But wow.
I was in such a rage.
Mm-hmm.
Like my wife said, she saw, I had a mask on, you know, I'm in the store, but she said, your eyes, you went so mad. Like I was so, because, you know,
as you should be.
Yeah. And a month ago I had the prowler out that I chased. You know?
Right.
But like, I was like, this is the second time something's happened like in a month. And I was like, I couldn't believe I was in such shock. Like he almost got hit. Because both my wife was closer, but she couldn't believe what was happening either. Because we just couldn't fathom somebody was trying to hit our child.
Man.
And I feel, yeah. Like I felt bad that I actually hadn't tackled her, like before she got like actually contacted, like or got close enough. Because I was like, I was so slow in that because I was in shock.
You were in shock and you wouldn't, it's like you wouldn't expect to, you didn't right. know that was happening.
And then quickly,
and it would have happened very quickly, oh, but yeah. seemed like and slow motion to
and
you.
And then once she did it, I was like, I was ready to like push her to the side, like to the aisle.
Yeah.
And like, cause I'm like, I gotta, cause already I'm like, she's about to hit him. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And then I started going through my head when she didn't, she's like, I'm like, I can't touch her. She didn't hit him. And then all anybody's going to see is this person of color just like, pushed this old woman, right? And I'm going through my head like, okay, this will look really bad. I gotta chase her and get her out of here, but I can't do anything because no one would see. I was even thinking like if she had hit him, so she would have been on the floor or against stuff, because if you hit a child, you're crazy, and I would have to stop crazy, right? In its tracks right there some way, but nobody would, and hopefully there's cameras, because they wouldn't have, everyone would have seen my reaction probably, not her smacking the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then daddy's in jail, right? Like, for like attacking this old woman, which I hope there would be like a, oh, they see me here all the time. I'm not a violent right. person that it might get a benefit of. Yes, yeah, she did. I don't know. That was crazy.
That is crazy. I'm glad you guys, everybody's fine. And on a completely unserious note, I also hope that you always refer to yourself as the daddy.
The daddy? Dad, yeah, I do.
Like you walk in home and you're like, the daddy's home. Daddy is here, children.
We actually do that all the time. To the
not daddy, but it's not daddy's home.
The daddy?
It's the daddy. The that's why I thought the it was daddy. So funny that how it fit into the story. Brittany, just had to call that out. Call that gem out for you.
How do you share much on social media? Like, are you like a
personal? I'm on the Instagram.
But do you share personal stuff on there, or are you more of a?
I share like some personal stuff. Yeah, I definitely try to.
Okay.
And some flowers.
The flowers.
Oh, did you see Bo Burnham's special Inside?
No, I haven't.
Yes.
Silas, you got to see it.
Yes.
What you were just talking about, like posting things on Instagram, right. I was thinking.
And the white woman's Instagram, you know. So it's fitting that I have flowers on there.
I don't know. I have flowers on mine, so.
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay.
Some of it I was like, I love those posts, or I would do that myself. You know, I was like, I love that. It was so, you got to watch it, Silas. Okay. You got to watch it. So good.
It's definitely like some of the most innovative stuff I've seen. And I'm really excited for what he's doing with his, you know, with his platform, at least, because he's exposing to, you know, a very young generation that it's possible to be more than just, you know, a selfie or a vlogger or, you know, and I'm just so impressed. I loved that. Inside.
You know, the second time I watched it, I liked it even better than the first time. The first time I might've been more tired when I watched it, but also I think the second time I just absorbed even more, you know what I mean? I think each time I watched it, I'll probably like it even more. And I love that it's like a time cap. It's like a time capsule. I feel like anybody who's gone through this last year is going to identify with something in it.
Mm.
And then for performers and comedians on top of it, like there's another level of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I'm impressed that you watched it twice already. I have this sort of rule where I don't watch things if I've seen it. Like I try to wait at least a year to rewatch something because there's just so much content.
I will tell you that it was not completely my own fault. I watched it twice. If it had been just like my own choice, I probably would have seen it once and then watched something else. But it was like, oh, what do you want to watch? We could watch this again. Yes, let's watch this again. Yeah. You know,
that's I would rewatch it, honestly, if I was in the same position. Right. So
it's good. good stuff.
So Samantha, I met Brittany on my Amazon commercial. That, do you remember the cat one?
The one with your sweater vest?
Yeah.
And the nice. Cat.
So Brittany was
that cat.
Brittany got the part that I auditioned for.
Hey.
Which was, because I'm glad I had auditioned for her part and didn't get it. Because if they had asked me about the audition for Cat Guy, I might have mentioned that I'm allergic.
It was so funny and horrible. Like, I was surprised that, did you not know when we got to set that you were going to be holding a cat? Or
once they cast me and I read, I was like, they had already set how much I was going to get paid. And I'm like, well, I'm going to take a lot of time, take a lot of medicine the night before. So I researched like how to stack your pills for allergies to like not react if you have, in case you, because people have these things happen that they're like, they know they're going to be in a place, so how do you not react?
I'm gonna be in that petting zoo.
Yeah. Right.
And I just thought it was hilarious that like all the extras, because I told the costume person, I was like, actually I'm allergic, but I just took a bunch of pills today, everyone on set except like the director, like all the talent knew that I'm allergic to this cat, and that I was, which was, you know, I mean, there are already the cat doesn't want to necessarily be there a little bit and is crawling and, you know, ruining shots. But like, then he's telling me, put your face in it and just like say hi. Like, and so all the talent things is cracking up. All the extras, because they know, like, oh, this is horrible. But you know, I want that check.
It was so crazy. All of the background actors were actually Amazon employees that responded to an email.
That's wow.
Yeah.
It was like during the lunch break, I was walking past a table and they were like, you're a real actor. And I'm like, you're a real actor too. And then they were like, no, we work at Amazon.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, damn, you're like getting away with it. You know what I mean? Just,
I don't know. I think they all probably got paid more than we did as Amazon employees.
Well, I just like the idea that like, they, I mean, I guess I don't like the idea. I just thought it was kind of funny when you said they responded to an email. Like the email, they open it up and it's like they get like trapped. You know what I mean? Like they all pick the short stick.
Like, oh,
got the email. You got to do it. No.
Oh, it was no. It's definitely optional. It's definitely optional.
Well, that's what they were saying. I don't imagine that's what would have happened. I think people would be like,
oh, like getting assigned
to be on set, you know.
And I don't know. I don't know how well. Like, I only really saw the clip of me and you doing it, but I didn't see the others except in a quick little compilation thing. But I didn't know if the others made it out there or not, or if it was just Catman.
No, I think they what I saw that was aired was a little compilation, like you said, of not each of them. Actually the fan one got cut, but the big fan got cut.
Okay.
But, I did my agent sent over, the long edits that also got paired with a message of don't post this anywhere because this isn't the official cut, you know? Okay. And then when I come to see the official cut, it's like 30 seconds long, you know? And you're like, oh, can I use this for my reel? I don't know. I think I might.
That is a question. That's awesome. Yeah. And so I didn't even know back then that you were a musician. Like,
yeah.
Was musician the secret life or is acting the secret life?
Nothing's a secret. Nothing's, you know, secret. It's just,
well, you had a whole different look because you had super short hair. Like,
yeah.
And
it's crazy. Hair can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I probably wouldn't recognize you. If I bumped into you right after. What?
No.
Was that just a phase or was that how you always kept your hair or is it now?
At that time, I had my hair like pixie cut short for I think like 3 or 4 years at that point. And I just in the last couple of years decided to let it grow because it wants to keep growing. And you know, and I feel like I learned a lot about having short hair and how that changes how people perceive you, especially in our industry, you know, definitely how that, but also, you know, societally, I feel like I experienced there's a different projection. And I think many women who go through the short hair phase, if they ever choose to do it, experience the different projections, you know, like, part of growing my hair back out was partially because of, some of the projections that I started to notice in myself. So, you know, when I first cut my hair, it's very liberating and you feel, you tap into maybe more of your masculine side and you feel, there's a confidence that comes with just having the short hair, you know, that, especially a lot of women were indoctrinated with this aesthetic thing. Right. And, it's liberating in that way. And then I started to notice that, mainly women would treat me differently and, would just maybe assume that I'm not, ditzy or, you know, not be so belittling. I noticed a small change in that way. And then I started to sort of adopt that too. I was projecting on longer haired women for some reason, female bodied people. I was thinking the same sort of thing. And I was like, why am I doing this? Why am I mentally adopting this? Because I'm like, as if there's a hierarchy and, you know, there's like a cattiness.
Like long haired people would be less smart.
Was less edge, like less edge. And I just didn't want to, I wanted to take the empowerment of the short hair and allow myself to have long hair and be, you know, a more balanced person who, is aware of those projections, because since growing it back out, I have experienced again, sort of the belittling, like, oh, sweetie, oh, hun, those kinds of comments. Really? And you're like, wow. It's fascinating. Cause you know, none of us walk around with a sign on our foreheads that say our lived experience,
right.
But it's, you can just kind of, you have to embody what you want to be or what you want to see the change. Right. And,
like I literally can't have long hair. Like I don't, my hair doesn't grow
out that far.
Doesn't grow down.
We'll get you a good wig.
So it
only
grows out.
Yeah, it grows out. I can flat iron it for you real good. We'll get you, it'll be nice and silky.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm just fascinated by the idea of like what long hair, like, you know, for some men, like it does, I think it changes perceptions of men that have long hair.
Oh, totally.
And I'm completely. Like, oh, I wonder what that's like. Cause I don't even like my son, his hair is very, he's got white hair, right? He doesn't have black hair. And like, I forget. And my daughter's the middle one, she's very curly mixed hair. You know, it has to be just kind of left natural the way it is. We brush it at night after a shower, but I don't think about like brushing my hair. Cause I never do. So I forget to brush their hair. And he just looks like he slept outside or something because I forget. And I'm like, oh, I was supposed to brush your hair
now
before.
That's why you can't have the raccoons out there.
Yeah.
You can't have them doing your son's hair for you. Now that's just embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. They're like, he's a mess. So Brittany, were you always,
go ahead. Sorry. Oh, I was going to say my partner is actually mixed and I love his curls. You know, they're so loose, but also, they're also tight as well. So, he's always talking about, you know, when he gets his hair cut, his barber sometimes wants to do a really short look, but he likes to have it a little bit longer, you know, it's definitely something that, I'm curious as a white person, right? That manages their hair differently. Mm-hmm. I'm always just curious what the hair care would be for a mixed person, you know, like, is it just sort of what have you experienced with your children?
My daughter's is you're supposed to just like, I guess, get a little wet maybe and just smush the hair in the morning, just to kind of tighten it. And then it'll like, and then kind of let it go for the day. Like you're actually not, we were told we actually are her hairstylist or whatever, has kids with mixed hair. And so she's like, oh, I know exactly what, and she's been telling us like what to do with her hair. Cause she's like, yeah, don't brush it out in the morning or anything. It'll go crazy. Like just brush it after a shower so that it's not tangled up. And then otherwise, just kind of leave it.
Leave
just
it alone.
Just let it go. I used to have curls. I used to have nice curls until sixth grade. And some guy cut my mom still blames it on him. I think it was puberty maybe did it. But he cut my hair short and gave me a flat top without asking my mom. And she was so mad and like, oh, it'll grow out. I never got them again. They never came out like a curl again. They just started going out straight. Like, so this just keeps getting larger and larger. Like, so I don't know if this guy by cutting my hair short once ruined my locks. My I'll find a picture for you, Samantha.
Yeah, definitely. Like
the curly hair that I used to have.
I think it just depends too, though. There's like so much the difference in how somebody's hair can be if they're mixed. It's like huge what type of curls and textures and everything that they have. Because like my hair definitely needs more than just water in it.
Yeah.
Like it can't be just water.
Like, what other products do you use?
Like leave-in conditioners and stuff like that. Like scalp oil. I don't use gel that often, but like I have, well, once I started going natural, like I have, because I had like a chemical straightener before to keep it straight. And I still would always need to put in like leave-in conditioners. But now like with my twists and stuff, like I think I have like 4 leave-in products or something for this.
Wow. Okay. Are you saying leave in?
Like you don't wash it out. Leave in.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Like, cause I'll like shampoo.
Leave in.
Like shampoo. Well, cause there's like washout conditioner or leave in conditioner. Okay, yeah. So like I could have shampooed my hair, conditioned my hair, and then done a leave in mask. I normally don't have patience for leave in masks. So I'll do like that deep thing first sometimes. And then
so much work.
And then now, like if I'm going to have my twists or something, I'll do like a scalp oil, a leave-in conditioner, a cream thicker conditioner, and then like a sealant oil.
Wow. And
I could also use a gel, but like my hair is also a different texture than my sister's, like same parents and everything, but like my hair's thicker. Okay. So I kind of need, and their porosity and all of that, which I don't know too much about that. I just know like my hair likes conditioner, but if it doesn't get washed within a certain amount of time, it doesn't get greasy. It gets dry. Mm. So it's like
it's chemistry.
It's just an interesting, and I'm still like learning for different styles, what it needs. So.
Speaking of styles, Brittany, your album, you have an album coming out. That's why we had you on here, right? To begin with.
Yes. I have a single that just released.
Single Ooh. Album. Nobody has an album. It doesn't even exist. They don't even exist anymore.
Albums, you know, it's a really strange thing to be in the streaming world. It's so accessible in a way, but also, yes, it's completely changed.
Does it feel
the music industry? People are not interested in albums as much.
This isn't your first single, though, right?
This is my first. I put it on the platform single. It's not my first song. I've written several songs.
Have you had a full album before? A full album, like 12 songs released at once.
I had an 8-track, what I called an EP, because I felt that the quality of the recording was not where I wanted it to be in order to release it on all of the platforms. I'm a big person of like quality over quantity.
Yeah.
And, because I'm in it for the long haul, you know, you gotta think about all of the steps. Right. Yeah, but I'm really excited about this song. I'm honored to be collaborating with people that I did on it. And so it's the quality that I was comfortable putting out.
So what style would do you describe it as? Like, is there a...
Yeah, the genre, we listed it as jazz, but it's definitely a fusion jazz. So it has... I worked with Art Borders, who made the original beat and accompaniment. And so it has this sort of hip hop percussion and rhythm, but the chords, and then, you know, I wrote the melody and the lyric, and my ear goes toward jazz, usually in improv. So some of the choices, there's some nice dissonance, you know, and so it lends toward jazz, but it's definitely a fusion. And I've since releasing it, some people think it sounds a little bit like Hiatus Coyote, which I actually haven't listened to a ton, but I started to now, and I think that they're great. I don't know if either of you listen to them, but
no,
I don't know.
Yeah, they're a new jazz group.
Cool.
Okay, so were you an actor first or a musician first?
Actor first. But it kind of depends on what you mean, because I think I've been writing songs a lot longer than I've been acting.
Oh, okay. You know, were you as a kid, like writing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was like a coping mechanism, I feel like, to process my living, my childhood.
Did you play an instrument or?
When I was younger, no, I just would sing and I would write in my little journals, and I would notate it to memorize how the song would go. I would notate with arrows and squiggly lines, like this is what that part means, you know?
Okay.
And,
how would you get like the melody going? Like if you, without, I don't know, I guess I've always felt like that's why I can't write music, because I don't play a piano or anything or an instrument. I was like, how do you know?
Yeah, I think that there's a divide in the music world. Musicians are either really intellectual and they're focused a lot on music theory, like what you're talking about. Like you got to have an instrument and you have to have a backbone of understanding, which is so true in some regards. And then there's this other side, which is a very, I would say, spiritual, soulful sort of experience where music lives in us, you know, and everyone can sing, maybe not on pitch, but everyone can sing. Yeah. Everybody can make that sound, you know, and it's been, I think it was, I think Lauryn Hill actually said in an interview once that everyone starts by, you know, imitating what they like, who they like. And then over time, your real voice, your personal voice will emerge as you get comfortable with who you really are, you know? And I feel like that is a way to learn how to sing. And then there's also, you know, training and things like that that give you more access. But I think I personally feel like it is you're a vessel, you know?
Mm-hmm. So when did you first start singing then? Like,
oh, I can't even remember, you know,
you don't remember the first time you went up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
but as far as like when I first sang, like first in front of an audience,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Probably at church and, probably in elementary school or something like that. Okay. Yeah.
And so did you quit acting? Like, I feel like when I met you, there was a conversation about you thought you were going to head in a different direction. Did I make that up?
No, I haven't quit acting.
Okay.
Maybe. I definitely have not. I'm not done being an actor. You know, I'm again in it for the long haul. It's the fabric of who I am, you know, like we're artists. So it's just in us. Right. And I feel like,
was that a transition point for you as an artist?
That commercial in particular,
like after that, I thought I remember you talking to you and you said something that indicated to me, it was like, oh, I think she's going to be doing something different. And I don't know if it's like me with comedy where I quit every 2 months or.
I mean, that's so real.
I've quit every 2 months for the last 10 years.
I feel like at that time, you know, I was in a really toxic relationship, to be honest, at that time. And I think I was having a hard time being consistent in my endeavors in general because I was so distracted. But, you know, so maybe I said something to that extent, but I definitely have not quit and I don't plan on quitting. You
so
know?
You are a singer, songwriter, actor, like you're it's triple threat.
No dancing.
No dance.
None.
That's why we just added
just a move.
We just add a different skill in there to make you a triple threat. Is what I figure. That's what you do. Okay. Well, So what made you decide to release a single then instead of going through the chore or the whole compilation, deciding to do a whole compilation thing. Like what, like what's the motivation to do just like a single? Is it like part of me is like, isn't it almost harder to like have to sell the sort of to sell just one song instead of, hey, you might like this or this or.
Yeah. You know, I always like to describe this industry, all of these industries as marathons. Mm-hmm. And so like we were kind of saying before that the streaming world has made singles kind of the new game. Instead of releasing an album and touring the album, unless you have the funds, the startup capital to go tour and go do that, right? Totally go do that. But most people are building a following with like single after single after single.
Oh, okay.
And so that's you know, I already have some songs ready to go for more releases, but yeah, you know, I spent this time in quarantine. The reason why that song exists is because I saw my friend Art, the Art Borders, who I'd mentioned earlier. He was collaborating with someone else I saw on social media. And I was like, I want to collaborate with you. And we knew each other through the jamming world here in Seattle. And so he sent me over this track.
You jam fruit as well?
I jam fruit.
you're into the jelly world? And
I'm into the jam world. Oh, okay. That jazz jam.
Oh, jazz jam. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, so I honestly, like
Samantha,
the last...
That's, yes, that's like a dad joke, but get used to
them. Oh, you saw me. I forgot. Yeah, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I've been told that our child, she's going to learn how to roll her eyes from me. And oh, she will. She actually already does. It's great. Like, not to change the subject, but I just have to tell you guys, like, she cracks me up. She's so expressive already.
How old is she?
She's like 5 weeks. Yeah. Almost
itty bitty.
She's already heard enough.
Yeah, and but like jokes. Sometimes she'll like open her eyes and hold her. She'll open her eyes. I'll just kind of like go. Like it's just like her side eye already. It's so great. It cracks me up.
And I think it's beautiful that you just
like,
see.
Makes her hands just like a little princess all the time. Like sometimes she's just like, she's just really really expressive. Which I didn't realize at first. I was just like, oh, you know, I haven't been around like a really little baby in forever, you know? But, yeah. You know, the pediatrician and stuff is like, oh, she's so expressive. She's so strong and she's so expressive. I'm like, cool. Cool, cool. Yeah.
Baby gets an A+.
I think it's so special that you can see all of the personality before the speaking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's so fascinating.
It is like, I'm so curious, like, what of those character traits are going to stay and what's not, and like how it's going to translate. Because, mm-hmm. I'm just real curious. When she's hungry, she does not like waiting. She goes from like 0 to 100 mm-hmm. real fast.
Who does? Who does?
You're right. I don't get hangry.
I get grumpy.
I don't get hangry.
You're always angry. That's your key.
You're like, yeah, I'm like a freaking Bruce Banner, right? I'm always angry.
Hey,
spot on impression.
Brittany, we're running out of time.
Dang it. Sorry.
So before we go, I have to ask you, we have, the first time someone comes on the show, we have 7 questions that we like to ask them. It's the Black and a Half world famous 7 questions. And yeah, you didn't need to prepare for them. That's why I didn't tell you when you asked me. If you had listened to an episode, then you would know that they, if you listen to the end, you might know. But, you know, so it's the first thing that comes to your mind. There's no wrong answer. And I do like the spontaneity. So that's why I don't send them to people beforehand. So, right.
I'm ready.
So, okay. 7 questions. Number 1, what are you most nerdy about?
Mm-hmm. Trailers.
Like movie like trailers?
Movie trailers or RVs?
Urban trailers.
We both like RVs. The exact same thing.
RVs?
The exact same thing. What about movie trailers about RVs?
Yeah.
The ultimate trailer.
So like tiny homes or just like the traveling ones?
Both. But I live in a trailer. I lived in a trailer parked in a driveway.
Are you in one right now?
I am not. I'm in the basement of the house where I rent because the connection is so much cleaner.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I was like, wow.
Well, because when you said that, like I know. House. I was like, wow, that's a fancy trailer. Look at that. Look at that. And also, the back of your seat is totally reminding me of like medieval kingdom or something. Oh, I didn't see the blue, but like just the purple and the red with the gold.
Wait. Okay.
Well,
okay.
Thanks. It's
okay. I know. I'm sorry.
Trailers,
okay.
Trailers.
So trailers.
Is this RV? Like you?
Yeah. I've been into the whole downsizing thing for the last I don't know few years, and when quarantine hit, I was ready to make a change, and so I made a pretty drastic change, and I now live in a 19 foot. 94 chateau.
19 feet.
Yeah. Oh my 19 God. Feet. It's tiny. It's a squish.
How do you cook? Like, are you able to like,
it has a 3-burner stove. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a fridge that's, a little bit larger than, you know, a college fridge. So I can get it. You know, I have to go shopping maybe once a week so that my produce and everything, right? But it's just me.
Waste way less and everything is. That's brilliant. I love that.
Maybe.
Yeah. My friend, you know, we waste a lot. It's disgusting.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. It's definitely made me mindful. I've had to change how I grocery shop.
Am I gonna leftovers. Well, I don't have room for leftovers, so I eat it now or throw it out.
Yeah, that has definitely changed.
Okay, number two. What's something that you love to eat?
Oh, something I love to eat. I'm trying to think of something I love to eat right now. I love fresh fruit. Mm. I really do. And I think that like kind of piggybacking off of what we were just saying, now I try to vary it up, you know, like, oh, gotta get some kiwi in there. Gotta get some peaches, not just apples and bananas, which is great. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, the exotic while it's in season.
Exactly.
Okay. What's something that you love to drink?
Red wine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like all I do is drink red wine.
Oh, yum. I can have some soon. No, oh, so I'm like, tell me what kind of red wine are you having?
Can now if you want, Samantha.
Exactly. I just got to time it out correctly.
Pump a dump.
Not dumping. Man, my boobs are so freaking sore. I'm just like, no, I'm not going to. I refuse. I refuse to pump and dump. I won't have wine then. No more pain, man.
You don't want it that bad. But what kind of grape? Which is your favorite red wine? Do you have a favorite?
I do like cabs, but I'll say that my favorite lately between my friends and I is going to grocery outlet and getting the finest $4 bottle you can find. Oh. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Quick trip. Just a
tip. I heard too with those, if you want to. I don't know if you've tried this already. If you put it inside of like the magic bullet thingy or a blender.
What?
Yeah.
I think you have the wrong name.
No, that's what it's called.
You sure?
Isn't it? The NutriBullet? Whatever it's called.
A blender? No,
the magic bullet's the smaller one.
The magic bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what
I'm going to look it up, Silas. And I know you're expecting me to be embarrassed.
Magic bullet, I think something different is going to pop up.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, we will see. Okay. I will be embarrassed on air.
Wait, I gotta see. Wait, Matt. Okay, I'm googling.
Yeah, it's the same. There might be another one that you see on your website, but we were thinking about the food one.
Okay, I guess. What was I thinking of?
I've caught on now.
Yeah, I was just like, what's wrong with that? I thought he was telling me that's not how you make a $4 wine a $20 wine. I'm just like, I don't know, Silas. I heard about it. It aerates it.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, they're not always, the price of the wine doesn't always say how good it tastes, to be fair.
No. And really the reason I really do this now, because I went to a New Year's Eve party many years ago where we had some nicer bottles and some very inexpensive bottles and blind tested them. And everyone loved the cheaper bottles. And I think it's the sugar content, to be honest, or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, it's like, okay, these are the little luxuries.
How high were the expensive bottles though?
Oh, like $50.
Oh, wow.
You know, like nice bottles, right?
Okay.
So
I thought you were gonna say, "Oh, we had them with the cheap ones and with the $9 ones." You
the
know?
Boone's like, Farm.
I was like, "What?"
Well, you know, because some go bad. Like you got to pick them.
Yeah,
right.
It could have been corked or something.
The you want to like I go to wine, total wine. I've not.
You got the wrong name, Silas. I'm just
kidding. There used to be a Wine World. Total Wine. Yeah.
And more.
If I go, like, I'll talk to somebody, and usually if I talk to somebody there, they'll pick out stuff that's really good. At whatever price point I say, I'm like, oh my God, this was $16. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I say how much I want. So, okay. All right. What kind of music do you love?
Jazz.
I thought that might be you.
I also really like R&B, and I also really like I like the soft singer songwriter things, the fusion, the folksy kind of homage to, you know, Joni Mitchell and things like that. So,
what do you love to create?
My brain immediately went to abstract painting, which is ironic because I haven't done that in a very long time. And I definitely do not, you know, display it or anything like that. But that's some fun stuff to do.
Wow. That'd have been hilarious if you're like, because I've never done it. But your future self just like projected itself back to you. Tell you.
Absolutely.
I want to see some of this. Seriously.
Splish Splash. Bob Ross.
What's a game you love to play?
Okay, I love this game called Celebrity Telephone. Have you heard of it?
Uh-uh.
No.
What? My friends are going to hate me for saying this because they hate when I say, let's play Celebrity Telephone. It's basically like charades meets telephone, but you pass around a gesture and a phrase or a sound, and you just keep going around and around, but you have to mirror exactly what the person before you did. So it's very much like an acting, icebreaker sort of game, but it is hilarious if you're with the right people.
So is it that the first person is impersonating a celebrity? Is that why it's called Celebrity Phone?
Yeah, I think it's probably why.
Or, oh, that sounds fun.
But it is so fun.
Yeah. Okay. Especially with that $4 wine. You've got yourself a nice night and then a drink and paint night. You could do that.
And Celebrity Telephone.
Paint and celebrity. Oh, so fun.
Okay. And last question. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
Joy.
Excellent. Good. I like that. Well, I think this was joyful.
Yeah, it was.
It was joyful having you on.
Yay. Yeah.
Brittany, where can we get your album? Where can we get your single, your new single?
Single on all major platforms. So Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, Amazon.
Okay. So
wherever
your Alexa device is, you can probably get it on there. Cool. Yeah. So Brittany Allison, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's so good to meet you, Samantha.
Yeah, it was really good to meet you too. Yeah.
Thanks for the reunion. This is like a reunion for us.
This is a reunion.
Should have done it before, but you know,
here we are.
It's like we look for a reason. I look for a reason. It's like, oh, I need an excuse. And I was like, oh, well, hey, you got a single. Let's come on.
And it's called Autotelic.
What? Oh, the name
it's called
of the,
Autotelic.
The name of your song, Brittany Allison.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, Autotelic. We'll do that. Black
can
and
you
hair.
Spell that? Autotel.
Telic. So
Telic.
AUTOTELIC. My brain just went into, I do not want to mess up this.
I'm sorry. I know, right? I hear you on that. Whenever they're like, oh, and what was her date of birth? I'm like, I know what it is, but let me make sure. Let me double make
what
sure.
Year? What year is it?
Fuzzball. Live long and prosper.